series he's in. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And I said earlier, last week, that I want to just teach on some basic doctrine, probably for the rest of the year. Then we'll start a book the first of the year. And so there's some things that we go through and we've been taught in our, here, and you may see them in D2, you may see them in D1, and yet I just wanted to dig down a little bit more on them. So what we're actually going to be looking at for the next few weeks is mysteries in the Bible. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and let me read the first two verses. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, how many of you have heard Brian talk about that just within the last few weeks? Okay, that, you know, he's talking about faithful men. He's been, and men in the Bible. But actually, this is really the whole church, not just the pastor, not just the pastors or deacons. We are to be ministers of Christ, all of us. And we are to be stewards of the mysteries of the Bible. The mysteries of God. And so I want to just take some time and look at that. And mystery in the Bible is listed 22 times. Just mystery, it's singular. And plural, mysteries, is 5 times. And every one of these is in the New Testament. Not a one in the Old Testament. So there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that you see pictures and foreshadows and prophecies of that don't take place until the New Testament comes along, and then they are revealed. And so that's what we need to understand. What are these mysteries that God has revealed, and many of them have been revealed to the church? And so we are the church, so we should be interested in them. So number one, I have on here the definition of a mystery. A mystery is a hidden truth which is revealed through... Take a stab at it. What do you think goes? Scripture? Hit it right on the nose. Okay. And so, if, you know, you can get saved without a Bible. Somebody can, you know, you can come to the realization that you need Christ as your Savior without a Bible. But to really grow in the Lord, to really know who Christ is and what He has for us, you got to have a Bible. And you got to have the correct Bible. And that's why we make a big effort here. What's the big difference on all these Bible translations? And you get to the point, well, they're just written by man, so they have errors in them. So people get to the idea that, well, you know, it's a pick and choose thing. And I'm like, no, God has His Word. His Word is perfect. And by having the correct Bible will keep us on the right track that God wants us to be on. And so that, again, that's why we make a major effort with getting Bibles out to people and trying to get Bibles that are good scripture Bibles in people's languages. Because not every language has a Bible in their language. Number one, there's a lot of countries, a lot of languages that don't have a Bible in that language. And if they do have one, it's not a good one. And so it takes time to get all that done. And so, again, having the right Bible is key, because your relationship with God is going to be so much better when you understand who He is and what He's given us. So the definition of a mystery is it's a hidden truth which is revealed through Scripture. And God wants you to know these mysteries because they are vital to our Christian knowledge and growth. And again, that's why we do D1, we do D2, we do this, because it's in His Word. He's given us His Word, and the majority, I imagine the majority of most Christians in this country probably do not read their Bible, because they don't realize what they have. And yet, we have the words of God written to us, so we need to really see what does God want us to know. So let's turn over, and so I gave you a lot of spaces here. So I gave you the space so you can just write down anything you pick up that I'm laying out here, or anything that God's revealing to you while we're going through this. Because again, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. That's the only reason I can teach the Bible, because what I say a lot of times nobody understands. But the Holy Spirit says, this is what he means. For years, Carrie has done that, but she's kind of given up on that. Because I used to be able to kind of translate for Bob. I have no idea what he's talking about now. And so you're on your own. So let's go over to Romans chapter 16. And so I'm going to give you some verses. Write things down. Go back and study things through. Pull out your old D2 handbook, and just, you know, we need to understand these things. Romans chapter 16 and verses 25 and 26. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Okay, and I'll just read 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So this is the end of Romans here, and it's talking about the mystery that was hid from the beginning. So, you know, all these mysteries that we're going to be studying, they're not a mystery to God. He's known about, he had those planned from before he created the earth, from way back there. And so, but they're a mystery to us because even though we see them pictured all the way through the Old Testament, they're not really revealed until the New Testament. They're revealed to us. And we have one thing a little different than what the people in the Old Testament have. Not only do we have the scriptures, but we have the Holy Spirit, which reveals them to us. Okay? So turn over, so I'm going to go through some verses. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. So you might want to jot that down. Ephesians chapter 3. 1 through 6 says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, where in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So again, the people in the Old Testament, they didn't know anything about the church coming along. And actually, the church has been grafted in to God's plan for the Jews. And so for us, you know, we put the New Testament, we put the writings of Paul and the New Testament writers in a group, like, you know, that's kind of central in our lives. But for a Jewish person, for everybody in the Old Testament, that wasn't the case. And so we were the ones that were grafted in to what God had intended for the Jews. And we were grafted in because of their unbelief. I'm kind of glad they didn't believe, because God has given us so much because they went AWOL from God. And God says, well, I'm going to provide a people that want to know me and the Gentiles by giving them the gospel. And so everything's going to fit all back together again, because God, we were just a section in parentheses in God's plan for his kingdom. So the real plan is the Jews. It always has been and always will be. But yet, we get a special spot in God's kingdom that not even the Jews get. And so it's kind of interesting that God used the Gentiles to help the Jews understand what his relationship is. And yet we get a little more of a relationship with Christ than what they get, from what I can pick up on things. And so, again, it was a mystery. So what is this mystery? Okay. And so turn over to Colossians. So we studied Colossians, what, a year and a half ago? And I've never got over this book. This book is just an awesome book. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 25 through 27, if you're taking notes. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Okay. And again, these are things that God wants each one of us to know. And not only that, He wants us to be living it, and He wants us to be able to teach it. And so I thought about this opening up, and I may do this in a minute, and I get a break. But let me read this first, and then I'll back up. Colossians 1, 25 through 27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." So, I mean, that was Paul's mission to get the gospel out. Yes?
Did you say 25?
Yes.
Okay. Let's back up to 25. I started in 27, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Okay, thank you for bringing that up. I just skipped right over that. But this mystery is basically the church. It's several. Our salvation is a mystery. Okay, and that goes into, you know, having Christ in us, but also the church and the roles that the church plays. That's just some of these mysteries that we're going to look at kind of feed on one another, kind of go together. And so we see here again the mystery. What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you. And you know, the angels look at things that are happening with us right now, and they're like, they can't figure it out. They're scratching their head. Like, God, why did you do that with these people? I mean, look at them. I mean, look at that Bob guy down there. I mean, the guy says one thing and does another. He's a jerk. I mean, they look at what's going on in our society and are like, holy smoke, Lord, are you sure you want these people? You know? And I'm like, wow. And so it's a mystery to them. They can't understand it all. And yet, it is a mystery. And you don't really start understanding these mysteries, these deeper truths, until you get the Holy Spirit in you. In fact, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal these mysteries to us. So a lost person is not going to get these mysteries. They're just not going to understand them. They're blind to it. We know that. They're blind. That's why a lost person reads the Bible and they're like, man, it's dry. I can't get anything out of that. And we'd open the Bible and look it up and like, wow, I just saw 10 golden nuggets in that passage right there. I want to study these out a little bit farther. That's like Brian mentioned the other day. It takes him how long to read through the Bible?
2 years.
2 years. Because why? He goes on rabbit trails. Hey, I know. I know. You start reading it. Next thing you know, you're like, ooh, what's that about? So you pull your concordance out or you study this word. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, I got to get back on track. But a lost person doesn't get that, okay? So let me just ask you, I was going to ask this at the beginning, okay? Because we are, as a church, as a Bible-believing church, and you guys that teach us God's Word, let me just ask you, can you guys tell me what the mysteries of God are?
Mysteries of the crowns? No.
Salvation by Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ.
Okay. What else?
Salvation.
Salvation is a mystery. I will say it is a mystery. The church is a mystery? Okay, so I'm glad I'm doing this because we need to know this. Okay? And so we're going to go through about 7 mysteries in the Bible. And these are not all of them. Okay? There's other mysteries that are revealed. But we're going to go through a few. And so I'm going to try to take my time going through this because we need to know these. Because we just saw in 1 Corinthians 4 that it's our job to do that. Yes, Roger.
One of them is the restoration of Israel.
Yes, okay. It is. Good job. So I've got them actually listed on one of my pages.
Rapture of believers.
Yeah. So let me just give you some that we're quickly going to go through. The mystery of godliness. We're going to look at that today, a little bit later. The mystery of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The mystery of Christ, the church. The mystery of the restoration of Israel. The mystery of the rapture. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of Babylon the Great. And I'll go through this. I'll give them back to you when we go through them. You'll see them also in D2. But again, we're flying. I know how it was in D2 20 some odd years ago. Or 30, or I don't know. I'm getting old. My goodness. It's been a while. And you can spend the rest of your life studying out D2. If you got the book, go back through it. There's good things in it, but they are flying low, and so hopefully they're doing a little better job with that. But even when I took it years ago, it's like there's things I don't understand. And even in Shepherd School, one of the professors was like, guys, you're not to understand everything we're teaching. Write it down. It's going to take you years to figure it out. I'm like, okay. So let's do it. So we're going to look at the mysteries because we are supposed to know them and steward them and be over them, okay? All right, so these mysteries are only given to saved people, okay? I don't know if I've given you that yet. And so in Matthew, let's go over and look what Jesus said in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read 11 through 17, just to get this concept. Matthew 13, 11 through 17. I'll try to start at the right place this time. In fact, we're going to back up to verse 10. Is everybody there? Matthew 13, 10. Okay. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. So when you go back and look at that, you're always wondering, I always used to wonder, why in the world would Jesus speak in parables? Because he's speaking in parables because he doesn't want them to understand. And I'm like, I thought Jesus wants us to understand. So what is going on here? He wants people to understand that want and have a desire to, and that will use it. The people that are just wanting knowledge and wanting that knowledge to go against what Christ said, they're just blinded, okay? So only God knows that. Only Christ would know that. And so he started speaking in parables. And it was really through the ones that were disbelieving and trying to kill him. He's like, okay, these guys have an agenda. They don't even want to come over to the light. They want to stay in the dark. So we're not going to give them any truth. We're going to speak in a way that they don't get it. Okay. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, that was the key issue, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And see, now am I supposed to go to... No, I'm done. Okay. So, these mysteries are only given to the people that have a heart that want to know. And specifically, the given to saved people here, because you need the Holy Spirit teaching you, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that since we are the church, that's us, have been given the mysteries, that we have a right to think that we're somehow special because we have those, okay? But you've got to have a humble heart, and you've got to have charity. So let's turn it over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to look at 1 through 3. So even though we're giving these mysteries, you know, we need to have the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not," what? "Charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So we have to have the right attitude. God has given us a great truth in His Word and in the mysteries in His Word, the deep things in His Word, and we're not to think that we're just somehow better than anybody else. You know, a lot of times people may think that about us as being Bible believers. Well, you think you're just special because you know the Bible. You think you're special. You're just a Bible thumper. Do you? Or you're just a, what do I use in the armory? Holy roller. You're a holy roller. Well, we kind of associate that with the charismatics, but we are Bible rollers or holy rollers. I don't tell everybody that. You know, we might get a lot more charismatics if we put that on our sign. We're holy rollers at this church. Probably not. Brian probably will not appreciate that, would he? But the attitude is, Paul tells us here, he goes, though we act like we're somebody and yet we don't love people, that's nothing. Even if we know all the mysteries, even if we can list them all out, even if we know His Bible, if we don't have love to get what we know out to other people, then we're basically missing the mark. We've got to have a humble heart. We have to have a teaching heart also. So turn over to 2 Timothy 2:2. Again, a good D1 verse. A good verse, period. 2 Timothy 2:2. Says, and we should all be able to quote this. Let me just back up to verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to everyone." Faithful men, faithful women, who shall be able to teach others also. And then verse 3, "And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It's not going to be easy. Okay? We are to teach these mysteries. Okay? And we've got to have the right attitude to do that. And again, only a born-again Christian will understand the importance of the mysteries that are revealed to us. So, point number 2 here on your handout says the significance and the importance of Bible mysteries. And here's a really good point here. Every heresy can be cleared up through proper understanding of these mysteries. So all the heresies and the things that are going on in the, quote, church today, if they just understood these ministries and taught them and lived them, would take care of all the heresies, all the false teaching that's going on. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4:2 again. We've been there once, but let's go back and look at it. Because not only I was kind of focusing on the mysteries, but I want to look at a different word on this go around. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 again. says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we talked about the mysteries, but what is a steward? Can anybody tell me what a steward is?
Like a caretaker?
Yeah. Okay. A caretaker would be a perfect word for that. Let me see what I have wrote down here. Someone in charge of.
He's trusted. He's a trusted servant.
Yeah. Let's see what else I have. The keeper of. Okay. So a steward or manager over. Okay, so we are stewards. The church is the stewards of the mysteries of God. We are the caretaker of them. We are in charge of them. We are trusted with them. We're the keeper of them. And we're the manager over them. Okay? That's a steward. Okay? And so we see stewards all over the Bible. Turn back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. Genesis 15:2 says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And he says, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So, you know, it took several years before, when God gave Abram the promise he's going to have a son, and he has it. In fact, he kind of gave up on God, you know. And yet, he told him, he goes, you know, I don't have an heir in my house. The only one that's an heir in my house is the steward that I have. And that's the one that was in charge of the house. So that's just one instance that we see a steward. And so Abram had this steward, and it wasn't that he didn't, he had kind of put his household under this steward, but yet it wasn't an heir. Okay? And so turn over to Luke chapter 16. Well, and you can see more places in the Old Testament also about a steward. But in Luke chapter 16, we're going to look at 2 through 4.
Luke chapter 16.
Luke chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. Let me just back up to one while we're there. It says, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig to beg, and I am ashamed. So let's just stop right there. But what we see here is a steward, again, New Testament. And he's like, and he's called to give an account of his stewardship. And so that kind of also brings it back to the mysteries. We are a steward of the mysteries, so we're going to stand before God and give an account of what we did with the mysteries that God gave us. Or basically, we could say Bible truth that He gave us. Same thing. Okay? And so back up to Luke chapter 12, and let's look at verse 42, if I have the right passage here. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" And again, in verse 43 said, "Blessed is that servant." So a steward is a servant, okay? And yet it says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So again, we are stewards of God's truth, his doctrines, his mysteries, and we're going to be held accountable for what we do with it. So again, that's one reason I'm kind of going through these mysteries.
So in other words, just be, say, a
worker. Yeah, but more than a worker, because a worker does fit the servant, the mentality. But again, a worker is not always the manager over or the keeper of something or somebody in charge. Now, they can be, but not always. You know, we always have those workers that, you know, just, you know, they're just kind of out there. But we are, we're more of a, we are responsible, a responsible worker, basically. Okay? That's a steward. And we are stewards, right, and we are stewards of these mysteries that we're going to be looking at. Okay? So we are to teach these mysteries. We are to safeguard these mysteries. And when we safeguard the mysteries, it keeps the bad doctrine out of the church. That's why when you come to this church and you haven't been scripturally baptized in a New Testament Bible-believing church, you're going to get rebaptized. Why is that? Because if the person will not submit to biblical baptism, then he can't come in and be a member, because he'll be bringing in some of this bad doctrine that he has. And so that is a safeguard to help the church to keep people out. Maybe it's a person that's coming in and they don't believe in baptism. Well, then you don't fit in the New Testament Bible. Maybe, you know, any of these heresies that are out there, that is just one safeguard. But we are to safeguard all these mysteries. You got people coming in, "Well, I don't believe the rapture." Because the rapture is one of the mysteries. Well, that's not going to keep you from getting saved, but it is going to stop your growth. You don't believe in the rapture, or do you believe in it? You know, because if you don't have this laid out correctly, dispensationally, you're going to get messed up down the line somewhere. So we just got to be diligent about keeping these mysteries that we're going to be studying. Okay, and so let me just give you this. There are two types of heresy that we will find in this today. Number one is from outside the church. There is heresy that is outside of the church, and I lose church loosely at that point, and that is directed to the lost to keep them from salvation. You know, you hear this thing about, you know, "Oh, the church is just a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. So why do I want to go there?" Well, that's a heresy. Mm-hmm. And that's taught from outside the church. Should be, or probably is. But then the other type of heresy is from inside the church. And again, I use that term loosely. And it is directed to confuse and to stifle Christians' walk. Okay? So, heresy from inside the church is directed to confuse and stop your Christian walk. Does that make sense? Now, again, when I said not specifically this church, but there's other churches that teach Calvinism. Calvinism is going to stop your Christian walk. It's going to give you a whole different attitude. Because if you're a Calvinist, you believe that God chose you. And you're something special. Well, God did choose us. We are something special. He chose us to salvation after we've accepted him. But he didn't choose the people to go to hell and the people to go to heaven. That's a heresy. That's taught inside the church.
Is lordship salvation a heresy?
I would say yes. It depends on how you define that. But I'd have to know the nuances. I don't know the nuances of that, but I'm just the back of my head. I'm saying, yeah, I'm thinking that's a heresy. There's all kinds of heresies going on.
You can lose your salvation.
Now, who teaches that? The Nazarene Church teaches that. The Pentecostals, the Nazarenes teach that. That's inside God's church. And what does that do? That just stops people's growing and being what God wants them to be.
Doing something that you're going to lose your salvation. How can you ever peace and hope.
Right. So now you're basing your salvation off of what you do. And then you got the Calvinists are like, well, God chooses who gets in and gets, who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. So we really don't need to evangelize anybody. We don't need to send any missionaries out. I don't see how they justify that. I mean, they have some kind of justification, but it doesn't work. So there's two types of heresies out there. So, but then you got the lost world, and they're like, they're putting heresy out, and so does the church does also. So let me just real quickly, we're not going to get much into this. The first mystery relating to the church we're going to look at is the mystery of God in the flesh. Okay, it's also called the mystery of godliness. And so the mystery of God in the flesh is Jesus was all man and all God. That's a mystery. How in the world can the God of the universe become a man? Now in the Old Testament, I don't think they had any idea. They didn't know Christ was going to pay for their sins. There might have been pictures back there, but they didn't pick up on that. That wasn't revealed until Paul starts calling it he calls it my gospel. Why is that? Because he was something special? No, because God showed it to him. God used Paul specifically to get the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's why he calls it my gospel. And there are some people that take offense to that. Well, who does he think he is? The only reason he said that was because God gave it to him to get it going. Now, he wasn't the only Gentile God gave it to. In fact, he was Jewish, but he took it to the Gentiles. So, this mystery. Let's go over to 1 Timothy 3:16. First Timothy 3:16 for your notes. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So basically, what is this mystery of God? It's God in human form. So there are people that reject Jesus, that he was God. He was just there's a lot of people saying, oh, he was a really good teacher.
Muslims call him a prophet.
Okay, or a prophet, but he wasn't God. Well, he claimed he was God, so you're not making full sense. How can you say that a man that says he's equal with God, isn't God, but he was a good teacher? I'm like, you're smoking something. But it doesn't compute, okay? But the mystery of God in the flesh, Jesus was all man. He was all God. And it refers to, and it's pretty simple, we know this, how the God of the universe became a man and experienced everything that man would, yet without sin. Okay. And we'll see Old Testament prophecy, pictures, illustrations all over the Old Testament about Christ coming and being a offering to pay for mankind's sins. And we see it, first of all, we see it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. But in Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 8, God tells, in fact, let's go there right quick, because this is one of the best ones in the whole Bible. Yeah. Genesis 22, 1 through 8. Again, we're back with Abram, and he's sacrificing Isaac. Genesis 22, 1 through 8. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine only son, or thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's the first time that you'll find love in the Bible. It's right there. You know how I know that? I got it wrote down on the side. That's why you need to write stuff in your Bible. I can't remember. There you go. I couldn't remember that. I can't remember all the things that God shows. In fact, I think I'm losing Bible verses, and I got to get diligent in studying and getting things out because I'm losing things. So I write them down, and that's a good thing. Okay, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, okay, underline third day there, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. So that's a whole passage to study out. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And he's thinking, Look, old man, you're getting forgetful here. Probably, no, he didn't say that, but verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Okay, that is a beautiful picture of God providing himself as the lamb. A fantastic reference to Christ. That is an Old Testament prophecy of the gospel that's going to take place, that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and he rose again. That he is the one that provides the burnt offering. That burnt offering was to pay for our sins. Okay? And so that's one that we see. We see the virgin birth of Christ in Isaiah 7:19 and in Isaiah 9:6, those two famous verses we always pull out around Christmas time. And then in Jeremiah 22:28 talks about the Messiah being a descendant of David. That's just a few Old Testament references.
You mean the Isaiah references?
The Isaiah reference is 7:14 and 9:6. Well, in fact, I think I'm going to stop and we'll pick that up looking at those two next week. Because just even in those passages, they talk, you know, we use them at, around Christ's birth. But one of them talks about this Messiah will come and he will be called Father, the Everlasting Father. And that's a study in itself. Here you have Jesus being, it's a reference to Jesus, and he's called the Everlasting Father. Well, that's because he is God. Him and God the Father are intertwined, okay? And so we're going to get into this next week, the mystery of God in the flesh. The second one we're going to look at is the mystery of Christ in the church. And that's really shows, manifested in the marriage that we have with Christ. So these are things we need to have down. We need to be conscious of them that will help us in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today. We do thank you for your word. We thank you for the deep things in your word. We thank you for the mysteries in your word. We thank you for the things that you have that you want to give us. And yet, Lord, we know you've already given us the Holy Spirit, which will teach us these mysteries, Lord. I just pray that we'd be open to the Holy Spirit, that he would guide our lives, Lord. And I pray that he would teach us your word. And we pray this study would be a good study to go through and to know and to live out. So I just pray for that Pray for the people that aren't here this morning, wherever they are, bring them back again safely next week. Give us all a good week, Lord. Pray with, pray with the people that have issues that's going on, medical and health-wise, and house-wise, and appliance-wise, and all the things in our life, Lord, that we would just trust you for guiding our life, and we just give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you think you're going to be at Grace Baptist next week? Okay, so several of us are planning on coming. Okay, good. And you're welcome to come. Their Bible conference is going on. They have a couple of really good speakers. George Grace is one of the best speakers in the country. So you feel free, if you want to go at night, to go to it.